Yeah, hi, this is Lucas Barfield, and you're tuned into the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH 101.9 right here in Tacoma. And this is a show about cannabis and things going on in our community about cannabis and the world and the nation. And we usually do a couple headlines, and then we'll go over a topic, and then we'll finish up the show with our It's a Bus segment. So thanks for checking us out. You can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine if you'd like to learn more about cannabis and what I'm doing in cannabis around the state of Washington. So let's go ahead and get right into our headlines today. So this first article, and this comes from Forbes, and it talks about how marijuana basically won the election back in November 7th. So there were a lot of national races, well, two very influential national races that won due to cannabis, and there was a lot of local issues that were decided due to cannabis, including one in Ohio that was sort of a cannabis blowout. So the first one we'll take a look at is in New Jersey. And the governor that won, his name's Phil Murphy, and New Jersey has been trying to legalize cannabis for 2 or 3 years now. If you follow the headlines, you'll see that they're always trying to pass bills. They had a Democratic House of Representatives, but then they had the Republican Chris Christie, who vowed that he would never legalize cannabis and was a staunch opponent of it. And matter of fact, the Trump White House almost tapped Chris Christie for being the head of the DOJ, and the people in the cannabis community were really worried about that because he was just as bad as Jeff Sessions when it comes to cannabis. So Phil Murphy did win the election. He promises that in this next year he will be working with the Democratic-run legislature in New Jersey to pass a recreational cannabis bill. And that's good news. It would be one of the first states, besides Massachusetts in the new Northeast, to pass recreational or adult-use cannabis. So in Virginia, a little bit south of there, the governor that won, Ralph Northam, he won due to cannabis as well. Now, in his campaign, he didn't quite say that he was going to go that far and make cannabis totally legal for adult use. But he did say that he was behind decriminalization of cannabis, which it's a great idea if you stop arresting people for smaller amounts of the drug or the substance and stop filling our jails and the private prisons with people that are arrested for marijuana. So this is a good news for Virginia. It's a first step kind of leading up to adult use, and they're having problems in Virginia from Washington, D.C., who has legalized adult use cannabis as well as medical cannabis. So they are probably getting a lot of runover from D.C. coming down to Virginia, and the law enforcement there is just overwhelmed, and they're just like, okay, we're just going to decriminalize it. But, you know, we'll take it when we can get it. It would be nice if Virginia would just go ahead and just legalize it totally, but maybe that's on down the line. Virginia still is the South, so it's probably going to be a little while before they come online with total adult use, but it is coming. So next up, we have a story out of Ohio. We're still in the MJ won the election headline, but in Ohio, they had a initiative in Athens, Ohio, that won 77% to 23%. That will allow people to grow and possess up to 200 grams of cannabis. Now, that's a pretty big deal. It's not a ton of cannabis, but it's a fair amount. And the fact that right there in Ohio, they're saying any adult over 21 will be able to do this is a big deal. And it's a little college town in Ohio there. So I am sure that will get challenged in the court and probably be fought by people who are opposed to cannabis legalization in Ohio. They did try to pass recreational cannabis recently, but it failed. It had kind of a wonky bill, so it wasn't a great bill, so that's one of the reasons why it did fail. So the last little part of this is in Philly. They had a DA that is very into changing cannabis laws in there in Philadelphia. So keep an eye out on that in the Northeast. And also in New York, it was sort of a failure, but this is very wonky. The advocates in New York wanted to totally open up the New York Constitution to a convention and then pass a marijuana constitutional amendment, which really seems difficult and long-winded and hard to do. And the people actually voted that down in the initiative process and said, no, we just don't want to do that. So that makes sense. But there will be more medical cannabis and adult-use cannabis states coming online. Florida, Ohio. Next year, they predict that Utah and Missouri probably will be getting a medical cannabis bill. So it is spreading around the nation because, you know, as we talked about before, cannabis was taken from the people in 1937 with the Marijuana Stamp Tax Act. So this is the people saying, hey, we want to take this back because it is, you know, people don't need to be going to jail for possessing a plant. So hopefully we can agree on that. So next up for the headline segment is about medical cannabis, and this is in Maine. Maine has had medical cannabis for a while now, and they have tightened up their rules on medical cannabis caregivers. Now, if you're not familiar what a caregiver is when it comes to medical cannabis, a caregiver is somebody that grows cannabis for somebody that is too ill or too infirm to grow it themselves. It is a relatively difficult process to grow cannabis inside. Outdoors is not quite as challenging, but indoors it is difficult. And if you have any kind of serious disease that keeps you confined to a bed or you have trouble moving around, you're more than likely going to have trouble growing cannabis indoors. So a lot of these states are compassionate and they allow for caretakers. Now, so they've sort of run into some problems here with the outflow of cannabis from some of these collectives, they call them, or people doing caretaking. So they think there are problems, but they're saying this is being abused in Maine, so they've passed a law that has sort of tightened up the caretaker laws. The new rules will be taken in effect in February, and they're going to have inspections and a tracking system, which it really seems like a difficult thing for medical marijuana people to go on a tracking system with all their plants. They'll be rolling out a compliance check system, and they're really wanting people to keep better records. And this is all coming down from the Cole memo. There's been some rattling at the DOJ that they're trying to come up with a reasonable cannabis policy. And I really think that some of these states that are tightening up on these medical cannabis laws and some of the states that are looking to propose home grows like Washington and are looking to do it very tightly are bowing down to Jeff Sessions in Washington and the Cole memo, which is, if you don't know, is a memo passed in the Obama administration that lays out a couple things, conditions that would allow the federal government to remain hands-off when it comes to enforcing the federal cannabis law. So this is just another thing where Maine's trying to tighten up their medical cannabis laws. And unfortunately, like here in Washington, we can guarantee that it's probably going to have a negative effect on medical cannabis patients. The key to medical cannabis is easy access and easy access to lots of cannabis. So anytime you put any kind of restrictions on medical cannabis, the patients run into problems. You know, just a regular person, you know, might not be a problem, but we really have to understand that people on medical cannabis usually have some, by definition, have a debilitating condition. So putting any kind of restriction on these does cause problems. So hopefully in Maine, the patients fare okay. Maine just did get recreational cannabis, so I'm guessing this has something to do with that as well. So they're trying to tighten down the system. And we'll talk about Washington about that here in a minute. So next up, we want to talk about a headline that came out, I guess about 2 weeks ago, and it had to do with the very first marijuana or cannabis overdose. Now, I didn't go too deep into this, but I just wanted to let everybody know that's listening to the show that you know how it is with the news. They come out with, oh, well, there's the first cannabis overdose, and then 3 days later, all the doctors come out and say, hold up, no, we did not say that. We haven't been able to prove, or we can't at this time say for sure that it was a cannabis overdose. So that's what the doctors are saying. So when you hear people say there was a cannabis overdose of an 11-month-old kid, then you have to be a little wary of that statement because, again, the doctors have not proven it. Now, I'm not saying that it is not possible because, as we know, cannabis does raise heart rate in massive amounts. And it can lower blood pressure. THC does lower blood pressure in massive amounts. So it would depend on how much the kid take, but you have to be a little skeptical. In all these years, no one has ever overdosed, and then now a kid overdoses. So, you know, our sympathies is going out to the family, and we'll be talking about this kid access later on in the show with our topic segment. So that's what's going on with that story, and happening. That happened in Colorado, of course. Seems like Colorado's been having some trouble with their edibles since they started with adult use cannabis back in 2012. So, you know, you really need to get that under control. So next up, our headline is Governor Jay Inslee tells Canadians everything is going to be okay when it comes to legalizing marijuana in Canada. Now, there's a very long headline, but that's basically what happened. And Canada just released draft rules for all their different parts of implementing cannabis throughout the whole country. Now, a lot of the provinces said we won't be able to meet the July 1st, 2018 deadline. So, but they went ahead and released the rules anyway, and so they're going ahead with this. And there's a lot of people nervous about this, and they're nervous about it working. But here comes Jay Inslee and says, oh, don't worry about it, Canada. You'll be okay. We didn't have a lot of problems in Washington. But keep it away from schools, and we have to educate the children on how bad cannabis is. Now, you know, I just want to make a comment on that I find it a bit ironic in Washington State, and I really do, that the politicians and everybody is so anxious about kids knowing about cannabis, and we of course don't want kids to have access to cannabis, as we'll be talking about here later in the show. They're so nervous about it, and I can't agree with that. You know, we don't want kids around cannabis. However, it just seems a bit hypocritical or ironic that you turn around and then you take all the cannabis and fund the schools. How can you say that cannabis is so horrible and then turn around and use it to fund kids' education? It just is really kind of a weird dynamic going on here in Washington, where the politicians say, oh, well, we have to watch out for the cannabis, but then they're certainly not watching out for the cannabis when it comes to the money. And, you know, respectfully, Governor, could you please, you know, let's get this fixed in Washington when it comes to cannabis. And we want to keep it away from schools, and we want to keep it away from kids, but we have to stop. I mean, why are we continuously demonizing cannabis except for the money? Like, we don't like it, but it pays the bill. So I just think we really need to hold our lawmakers accountable when they make statements like this, and really hold their feet to the fire and say, no, you can't do this. You can't 1 minute say it's bad and then the next minute turn around and say it's good because it's paying all this money. So, you know, let's try to be consistent when it comes to cannabis in this state. And now we're going to segue right into the next headline, which I think we've talked about before. And this is the fifth headline. We usually only do four. We're going to add this one on because this is breaking news today. If I had a little breaking news buffer sound, I'd be playing it right now. The LCB just officially sent over their letter recommending their three outlines for home grow cannabis. That means every adult over 21 can grow cannabis at home. And there was a law passed in 2017, said they had to do a study around this, and they did do the study, and they came back with three ideas or a proposal. Number one, you can grow cannabis at home, but you have to get a permit. And there's some other restrictions, too. Number two, you can grow cannabis at home, but you have to get a permit, and the state is going to be tracking. You have to enter all your plants into a database, like we were talking about back up there with Maine. The last one is the status quo and just not let people grow at all. Now, these are really three non-choices because Washington State is one of the founders of medical marijuana. One could say, almost say, you know, behind Colorado and Amsterdam, Washington is one of the leaders in cannabis in the entire world. People here are used to cannabis. They're used to growing cannabis. They've been doing it for a long time. They've been growing lots of cannabis for a long time. It's everywhere you go. It's prevalent. You can buy it in stores. The underground market's still going. It's everywhere. Why are we going to limit people to a permit to grow four plants? The underground illicit market does not have to have a permit. And the whole purpose of all this is to try to get cannabis off out of the illicit market or the underground market so it stays out of the hands of kids and we begin to regulate it a little better. So that's why they say that we're having all these laws, but then they go and try to pass something like this. It makes no sense. How many people do you know are actually going to go down to the government and get a permit to grow four plants? It's really not even worth it. To grow four plants at home is extremely difficult. Now, if every Home Depot sold cannabis plants and you could just go down and buy a cannabis plant, bring it home, grow it, and then just be done with it, it wouldn't be that bad. But that's not the case. It is extremely difficult at the moment to get cannabis clones in the state of Washington. You have to really hustle. You have to do cold calls. You have to go find somebody to do it. It's just not, you can't just wave your hand and Amazon deliver some clones or seeds to your house. So requiring people this permit to get the four plants, again, is just kind of crazy because people are just not going to do it. They are going to continue to either buy cannabis from the stores or, like, unfortunately, the majority of people in Washington State or a large percentage of people in Washington State still get cannabis on the illicit market. And this is not going to help anything because if you just let people grow, you know, I think we could live with the four plants. It's the permit that is the problem. And to make just average adults over 21 to get your house registered on a database to grow a plant, I just don't think that that's going to happen either. So we're just not sure what's going to be going on with this. Keep eye out on it down in Olympia. I've seen some predictions online that this is not going to go anywhere. The Democrats control the legislature down there, so hopefully that they put some kind of controls on it and maybe we can fix some of these problems with the bill. So that's it for our headlines. So, again, just keep an eye out on that home grow bill. Washington State, we can do a lot better than this study that came out from the Liquor Control Board. So let's go on to our topic of the day. So the topic of the day is we're just going to go over some quick bullet points that I have of what a layperson, just a regular guy or girl on the street needs to know about cannabis. If you just walk into the store for the first time, you know, don't know really anything about this. And I presented this at the Wallingford Senior Center on Tuesday. So I just kind of, I thought it was good. The group there was very receptive to it. So that's what we're going to do next for the topic. So first up on what you need to know about MMJ, and that's what we were talking about just a minute ago, is you want to keep the cannabis out of the hands of kids. Now, if you get, this is especially an issue when it comes to edibles, because edibles, they look and taste and smell usually just like regular food. So number one, don't store your cannabis edibles around in your kitchen. If you have kids coming around, keep them somewhere in probably your living area away from people. Because if you have it in your kitchen, everybody, including your friend or your cousin's boyfriend, might think it's just a regular cookie sitting in there in the refrigerator and chomp on it, and then 15 minutes, you know, about an hour later, they're going, oh, no, what happened? So we want to keep cannabis out of the hands of kids, and the easy way to do that is just to keep it up on high shelves, keep it away from children, keep it packed away. I cannot stress this enough. A kid will come up, see a cannabis cookie, and eat it. They're not going to stop halfway through. It's a cookie. They're going to eat the whole thing. And that goes for other adults that you might know, too, coming around your house. So just let's be safe. And so if you're buying cannabis edibles and cannabis products, be sure to keep them put away, locked away if you really need to. So cannabis edibles, they're not real food. So don't keep it in your kitchen. Keep it somewhere else. So due to federal restrictions, insurance, if we're talking about medical cannabis here, insurance does not cover any form of medical cannabis at all. Not CBD, not THC, anything at the moment. As we were talking about a minute ago, cannabis can increase heart rate. So we're talking about using cannabis for medical purposes. So if you are using cannabis for medical purposes, just be aware that it can increase your heart rate. The risk of heart attack from cannabis is not that high. It's about the same or possibly lower as sex as far as having a heart attack from cannabis. So next up, CBD. If you take CBD, it can in sufficient amounts. So when I say sufficient, when we say sufficient amounts, it means fairly high doses. So when you take CBD, it can interfere with other drug absorption due to an interference with, let's check this word, the cytochrome P450 enzyme in the liver. So if you have, if you are taking medication and it is something that you is life and death and you're wanting to get on CBD, maybe you want to kind of look into it and see, ask your doctor if there will be any kind of interference, because the CBD will interfere with the metabolism of those drugs. And it is well known that if you take CBD, that you will have less effect from THC. So this is well known in the cannabis community, so just be aware. So if you're taking medical cannabis, this could be something for medical cannabis. It does, THC does lower blood pressure. So if you are someone who has low blood pressure already, be aware of that. It could exacerbate that. There is no evidence of increased lung cancer risk when it comes to cannabis, smoking cannabis. Matter of fact, a lot of people use cannabis oils for trying to treat lung cancer. So in some states, including Washington, testing positive for cannabis can affect transplant eligibility. So be aware that if you are someone who is looking to get a transplant and you are using medical cannabis, it is a possibility that you will get denied a transplant. I actually have a family member who was denied a transplant due to having cannabis in their system and later died. So this is a real thing. Be aware of that. Some jobs may still drug test for cannabis. I have seen some things online where people are trying to thread the needle and just take a little bit of THC and see if they can kind of get by the drug test. It doesn't work. There are ways to get around drug tests and whatnot, but just be aware that jobs will still drug test, and so you need to keep an eye out on that. And I would not advise trying to get around drug tests on a job as far as taking lower amounts of THC and try to squeak by, because it's just not going to work. If you take high CBD, that's something that I think they don't test for CBD, but you need to be really careful because CBD often has THC in it. So if you're going to take CBD and you have a job and you're afraid of getting get in trouble for having the THC in your system, you need to get something from the regulated store so you know exactly how much THC is in there, and you're going to want like zero. You're pretty much going to want hemp CBD oil. So be aware of that. So cannabis, as we know, is illegal federally, so don't take it on an airplane or in a federal facility. I almost actually took some cannabis in the Social Security office over here in Tacoma one time. I had it in my pocket and almost went through the metal detector and was like, uh-oh, and ran back out to the car and put it there because I did not know what was going to happen. So just be aware, if you take, especially now with the Trump administration, I would advise being really careful trying to go through TSA with cannabis, and just be aware that they'll be checking it at the federal facilities. So that's it for our topic segment of the day. We are working. And before I move on there, I want to do a disclaimer that I have on all my presentations when I talk about medical cannabis within those kind of terms. Is I am not a doctor, I'm not a nurse practitioner, I'm not a medical professional. I am just passing on information to help people make informed decisions about medical cannabis or cannabis in general. I certainly do not recommend anyone taking medical cannabis, so just wanted to put that disclaimer out there. So finally, we're going to finish the show up with our It's a Bust segment, and this is where we'll talk about the drug war and a story that's hit the headlines very recently, and we don't know a whole lot about it. Is right here in Washington, they just busted a Chinese national cannabis growing ring in Thurston County, out in Grays Harbor, and in King County, and they had 40 properties where they were growing marijuana. And I didn't see any numbers as far as how much they got out of there, but it's a sad story because they didn't know whether the people were involved with human trafficking. So some of these people could be refugees from China and brought over here specifically to attend these gardens at these houses by criminal gangs. So it's a real sad story when it comes to the people. And here again, we have an example that if in the rumor is, or what they were saying is, they were sending all this cannabis over to the East Coast. So here we have another example that if there was a fully functional, 100% legal cannabis system throughout the United States, these folks would not even have a job. There would be nothing for them to do because everybody would be able to go to the store and buy cheap cannabis. And if you didn't want to buy it at the store, you could grow it at home. There would be no reason to go to the illicit market to get the cannabis. We don't see large immigrant populations being smuggled into the United States to brew alcohol. So this is something that is a prime example why we need to have a legal, open, and free cannabis system in the United States, and especially here in Washington. So that's our show for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to follow more about me and what I'm doing with cannabis, you can follow me on Twitter at MJ is Medicine. Type in that same thing on Facebook, facebook.com/MJ is Medicine. And you can follow me on Facebook as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is KTAH 101.9 FM in Tacoma.